Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we're starting a new sermon series called Summer School. But I'm excited about this sermon series, Summer School. We're going to be looking at lessons from Acts. It's not going to follow the Bible study. There may be some overlap, especially in the early parts, but these are just lessons I think we can learn from the book of Acts. And last Sunday, Reverend Bobo started by talking about how excited the church was in Pentecost, how motivated they became, and how changed they were. And I'm hoping to pick up there today. So I'm going to be in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 42 through 47. Hear the words of the apostles this morning. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, talking about the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing, Lord. May it be acceptable in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you're writing in your discipleship book, the first lesson, lesson number one of summer school, is that we are better together. But we are better together. And that's something we talk about a lot. We talk about that. Growing together was one of our three kind of emphasis this year. We wanted to grow spiritually individually. We wanted to grow spiritually as a corporate and community and in service. So this is one of the things that we've really tried to focus on to talk more about. This past week at one of the little breaks, I was sitting outside probably drinking a cup of coffee. We did a lot of that. And I was outside with my favorite niece. Michelle's laughing. It's my only niece. But Bailey was outside with me. And there was a family of ducks swimming through the pond or the lake there across from the house. And Bailey was really upset, really getting loud and, oh no, oh no. And I was like, what is going on? And I looked up and there was one, what I'm assuming was a baby duck. Not like an infant duck, but like maybe a toddler duck. Let's just call it a toddler duck. And it was swimming off way by itself. And the adult in charge, had to be, it was the biggest. And all these other ducks were swimming in a row together on the other side of the pond. And she was so worried that they were together and this little duck was by itself. Then I started listening to what she was saying, and she was saying, Mommy duck, wait! Mommy duck, wait! And she kept pointing to this other duck. And I started thinking, you know, that's the story we see in Acts. That's the reality of the church, is we're stronger, we're safer, we grow more when we're together. But every now and then, you ever felt like the duck by itself? Like you just needed to catch up? Well, Bailey can tell everybody, wait, wait, and give you a minute to catch up. So some of the things that we see in this scripture lesson that they did together that made them better, the first thing we see is that they had spiritual disciplines, what we as Methodists call means of grace. that they did spiritual things together. We see specifically that they listened to the apostles' teachings. They were actually listening, studying what it meant to now follow this new way of Jesus. And Peter especially, but all the apostles, were now teaching the Old Testament to them as they now understood it, as to it has been fulfilled through Christ. And so they're listening to these teachings. We saw that they were together in fellowship. They used the word koinonia. It's more than just eating together. It's more than a covered dish. It's more than sing-alongs and other fellowship things that we call in the church. They were together in a very intimate and real way. And they shared life together. We saw that they were breaking bread. We see most scholars believe that this meant the Lord's Supper, just like Jesus commanded them to do. But it also meant meals in their home, that their lives had just become infused with each other. And there was no separation between my church family and then my home family. It was just my family. And then prayers. They were praying. We see, if we go back before Pentecost, that Jesus told them to wait there. And they did all they knew to do. They went and they started praying. And their prayers, I believe, were probably bold and passionate and intentional. And then the Holy Spirit fell on them. And so they continued praying. They continued doing these things. It says, 42 says, they devoted themselves. That devotion is deeper than 1 hour a week. It's deeper than when I feel like it. It's a deep, think about the things you're devoted to. You're devoted to your family. Some of us are devoted to our jobs too much. And we need to maybe be a little more devoted to our families. We're devoted to our favorite teams, our favorite TV shows. You ever met anybody, they changed their whole schedule to get home in time for a TV show. The second thing that they did together is they took care of each other. And these are some of the verses that, if we want to be honest, the church today, if it could take a pair of scissors and cut out some verses, it would be these. It says, all came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. We don't want to hear that. Maybe I can clarify. Let's remember what the Jewish culture was. They're in Jerusalem, we know that, because in a minute it's going to tell us that they're spending time in the temple. Because they're there, a lot of them didn't live there. They were traveling there. And so they were travelers. They were not home. And so they had to take care of each other because these people were out of town. And so they were paying to make sure everybody had enough food. They weren't just tossing money around. And nowhere else is this. People will say, well, that's telling you ought to sell your house and give it, divide it among the people in your church. So it's not even consistent through Acts that it should be some type of divide your wealth kind of thing, which is what we're afraid of. What it's saying is they took care of each other. Their goal was in common. Their goal was to grow closer to Christ, to let the Holy Spirit take over more, and to share the story of Jesus. So their goal was common, and they made sure that they could stay together as long as possible by providing for the needs of these families who were out of town. But we could take care of each other. I was once told that we all have burdens to carry in life. Would y'all agree with that? But I was told that we all have burdens to carry. Some are rocks that we're meant to carry by ourselves. And some are boulders that are too heavy to lift. And so we need to count on other people. And that's where the church should help us. Number three, they were better together because they worshiped and praised God. Now they had the advantage. They spent time with Jesus, but it says, day by day as they spent much time together. I think that was probably more than 59 minutes or 64, depending on whether we're having communion or not. They spent much time together. Because when they were together, something powerful was happening. They had to be together because the Holy Spirit was moving. It says they broke bread. They ate in each other's homes. They had glad and generous hearts. They were just thankful for what God was doing. They praised God. Maybe not even all with their words, but with the way they were living their lives. Praising God and having the goodwill of all peoples. You see, they wanted to be together because their focus was Jesus. I hope, I pray more than you will ever know that this place will be a place you long for Sunday to hurry up and get here. And I'm not going to lie to you, you know, it's, what's the right word? Heartbreaking, disappointing, frustrating. When we get in this mentality that, nah, I'm tired today, I'm going to stay home. That's sad. You ought to want to be to this place. Come Friday, you're like, man, I'm ready to check out because I'm on barbecue. I'm going to go to the lake or the swimming pool on Saturday, but on church on Sunday, ooh, we're going to get our worship on. That ought to be what it should be. Oh, preacher, I was at church. Last week was Easter. I'm going to take 6 weeks off. Be careful laughing. It's a problem. Oh, it's summertime, preacher. Numbers should be low. No, they shouldn't. Jesus died for us in the summer just like he did when it's cold outside. So let's talk about something y'all do like. Anna Claire. And I know you like her. If you don't, we got a problem. Anna Claire used to say, I want to go to Dad's church. I want to go to Dad's church on Monday morning. Baby, we got a long time for you going back to Dad's church. Then it turned into, I want to go to Aunt Claire's church. Then it turned into, I want to go to Aunt Claire's church. And then she'd name some of her friends that are here, the kids. She'd name her family, her grandmothers. I want to see my aunts, my cousins. And she would name them by name. I go to Aunt Claire's church and see blah, 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 blah. And she was truly excited. Then a couple Sundays ago, she told me something I'd never heard before. She came in, I was sitting at the table drinking coffee, it was Sunday morning. She said, I go to church, I go to Anna Claire's church. And I said, really, you want to see, who you want to see? And she started, and then she stopped. Well, who else do you want to see? She said, I want to see all the people. And so now when she talks about her church, she says, I want to see all the people. And I thought, what a beautiful image. Sometimes when we start coming to church, it's because somebody invited, it's somebody else's church. Well, I'm going to go to my dad's church. I'm going to go to my mom's church. I'm going to go to my friend, my neighbor, my brother, their church. But then it becomes special because it impacts our lives. Then it becomes our church. We start taking ownership. We start wanting to be a part. We start wanting to help out. We start wanting to dive in a little deeper. Then it kind of becomes, you go through a step where maybe it's about your group of people. Your age group. But the church in Pentecost was about all the people. It was about the church. There's a song out right now by Cochran and Company. The name of the song is Church. And then the secondary title was Take Me Back. It says, take me back to the place that feels like home. To the people I can depend on. To the faith that's in my bones. You know, Scripture says that the fire of the Lord was so deep in their bones they couldn't keep it quiet. I think that's what it was like at Pentecost. It says, take me back to a preacher and a verse. I can promise you, you can tell me every Sunday, preacher, you did a great job today. Preacher, it's a fine job today. And I'll go home and I'll shed tears and I'll fall on my face because I feel like I failed the Lord. But if you determine your Sunday based on my sermon, you're giving me too much credit. Your Sunday ought to be about what you put into it. That's what you're going to get in the car and take from it. If you didn't put any effort into worship, if you didn't put any effort into praising, if you didn't put any effort into letting the Holy Spirit speak to you, you're going to go home feeling like you were empty. That's because you brought nothing. Devote yourself to worship, and it doesn't matter who's preaching, you're going to go home with something. I know I got bad sermons. I know it. Stacy, she knows. There are some Sundays, just let Andrew eat and he'll be happy when dessert gets here. But until dessert gets here, don't talk to him, because he's got that look like they just lost the last game of the World Series in his eyes. She's just had to learn. But it says, take me back where they've seen me at my worst. Church, if we can see each other at our best, shouldn't we be comfortable enough that these people should be able to help us at our worst? To the love I had at first. You know, when you first fell in love with a grandchild, a significant other, whoever, man, that love is so strong, nothing keeps you from that person. It's probably safe to say when you first fell in love with Jesus, it was so strong, you were going to live your life forever for the Lord. Then life gets real, doesn't it? Take us back to that love we had at first. And then he says, oh, I want to go to church. And that's my prayer. That's my prayer, that we'll want to be here, not because we think each other special, but because God's doing something special here. And we ought to want to be a part of it. It says, day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Church, I want you to hear me very clearly. If you've not heard anything else today, hear this. I hope we reach all our attendance goals. I hope this place stays full. I hope our average continues to grow. But I care far more about people getting saved here than I do about how many of us just come to be with each other. If we never bring anybody lost to meet the Lord, we have failed as a church. Our mission is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We call it making disciples for the transformation of the world. This scripture, no scripture, is a prescription. It's not prescriptive. You can't just, I'm going to start praying, I'm going to start studying, I'm going to have somebody over to my house for supper, and then boom, the church is going to grow. What this is it's a description of what life was like for them. And we are to learn from it. Not to follow it as a set of rules, but just to say, this is our heritage, this is who they were. Now let's try to apply it to our lives. I hope next Sunday you get up and you got a little smile on your face and you enjoy your coffee or your orange juice or your breakfast or whatever it is you do on Sunday morning, and you think to yourself and maybe even say out loud, I want to go to my church and I want to worship with all the people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.